It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of the Drive starts now. Top 4 at 4 with Marcus Young. Marcus.
Thank you, Bear. Some big news we haven't even gotten the chance to talk about yet is, number one, the Cleveland Browns have finally gotten rid of Baker Mayfield, trading him to the Carolina Panthers today for a conditional 2024 fifth-round pick. The big news about this, though, is that the two teams will be splitting Mayfield's $18.9 million salary. Seems the Brown will eat about 10.5 of his salary. This also doesn't mean that he's the week one starter. They still have Sam Darnold, who apparently they're very high on still, which I don't understand. But you've got, the 2018 draft? The top two? Yeah, the top two quarterbacks taken in the 2018 draft on the same team now.
That was a weak class.
It was.
The Browns got fleeced. I mean, nobody wastes money like Jimmy Haslam.
Yeah.
It's a colossal waste. So what's he's paying?
Deshaun.
$55 million roundabout for a quarterback that may not even play this year.
Here's a question for you guys. Who sees the field first in a Browns uniform, Deshaun Watson or that 2024 fifth-round pick?
Maybe the fifth-round pick.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, because there's talks about how it's going to be at least a year, maybe longer, depending on what the investigation holds. I think the bigger question is who hits the field first, Josh Dobbs or Baker Mayfield? Starting to think Josh Dobbs might be the guy in Cleveland.
Jared just informed me that the Panthers also play the Browns week one.
They do. I did see that. But unless, you know, if Baker can – if you really want me to give my honest opinion, I think Baker Mayfield is the better option between him and Sam Darnold. However, Darnold's been in the system now for over a year, so he's got that over Baker. We don't know the kind of shape that Mayfield's in right now. So it's going to depend on this little offseason, see how much he impresses and who becomes the starter.
Okay, so here's where we're at with Deshaun. So apparently 6 days ago, you know, they had the hearing about potential discipline for Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson. 5 days from now, both sides, I guess, Deshaun's side, the NFL, will submit written paperwork to Judge Sue L. Robinson, arguing their respective positions. In the interim, a negotiated compromise can be reached in theory. So, so where we're at, the NFL's still wanting him. They're wanting him suspended. And here's the deal. If this judge rules that he's not suspended, the NFL can't appeal.
Mm-hmm.
However, if he's suspended for 6 to 8 games, Roger Goodell becomes the final arbiter on how long it is. And if I'm not mistaken, he can put him onto the commissioner's exempt list and just suspend him indefinitely.
Yeah.
So, and that the thing that's really problematic for him, even though he did settle 20 or 22 out of the 24 or 26
correct. Yeah.
Cases, one of the ones that didn't is the one that I'm still having a hard time understanding how a grand jury didn't indict him for sexual assault.
That was the original one, right?
Yeah, I mean, these aren't like, you know, strip mall massage parlors that he was frequenting. He was contracting with certified licensed massage therapist, and I mean it doesn't sound good.
No, it does not.
I mean, this was not, you know, I'm sure they're thinking it's, you know, they're gonna be working on, you know, legitimate massage therapy for an injury for a professional athlete, and he's looking for something else allegedly. So
he should have went the strip mall route. He's probably not in this situation right now if he does that.
Probably not, but here we are. So, it'll...
Well, he could have allegedly asked Robert Kraft how he went about it. Allegedly. Number two. With everything changing in the world of college sports, The Pac-12 and the ACC are apparently discussing a loose partnership and a potential championship game. They're talking about what could include in a season-ending championship game between the two conferences in Las Vegas. The proposal is being viewed a way for ESPN to increase the value of the current media rights contracts. So we could see the best of the ACC, Clemson, versus the best of the Pac-12. Who knows? Maybe Oregon, Utah.
Every year.
So you've got...
I mean, we'll see. I'm wondering how much Oregon's going to drop off. To me, there's a substantial drop-off between Lan Danning and Mario Cristobal.
I agree. It's going to be interesting because does this replace their championship games individually for an ACC Pac-12 championship game instead of individual division championships? You know what I mean? So does that mean the winner of that would go
who
to
knows,
the playoffs?
Mark? I mean, it's this is
that's probably what this is it gives the whoever wins, that gives them a big push for the playoffs, I guess. I mean, that's the only reason you'd do that.
To me, it's just I have no idea. It's gotten so convoluted, murky, and I mean, who knows how this is all going to end up coming out in the wash. So when is USC and UCLA slated to join the Big Ten?
24, right?
Yes, 24.
So they'll be in there for this year and next year. It'll be a lot of time.
Yeah. It's the same thing with Texas and Oklahoma. It's going to be time before we finally see what happens there.
But now I do think if USC and UCLA jump earlier, I could see a scenario where Texas and Oklahoma jump sooner rather than later as well, especially once ESPN and Fox and, you know, the parent companies, I guess, Disney, ABC, Disney, and
right,
everybody gets involved, people.
Number three, just some feel-good story here. Yesterday morning, a beautiful scene happened near the river as the Vol letters were finally put up on Neyland Stadium.
Hey! Nice.
Beautiful sight.
Well,
beautiful.
We've been dog bleep ever since they came down, so.
I know.
I mean, they aren't the same letters, but.
No, unfortunately, but it still feels good.
Yeah.
That little video made me feel good.
It's got a nice look to it, so. I saw where Rick Butler.
Yeah, he got some good shots.
Yeah, who will be on the show with us tomorrow.
Yes.
From Rocky Top Insider. We'll check in with him about that stuff. I mean, he was apparently down on campus for a long time yesterday taking pictures of the letter, so.
It is gorgeous. I need to drive by there and check it out.
I know, right?
Pretty cool.
Beautiful thing to see on a Saturday morning. And finally, at number four, some other news for Tennessee that we have yet to discuss, but hopefully soon, is that the baseball team received Alabama transfer third baseman Zane Denton as he committed to Tennessee. He is a Brentwood native, as he announced that on the 2nd.
Now, that is a kid that line-drived
Sewell.
Dolander, I thought.
Oh, yeah, okay. He hit Dolander, but then he hit a home run off Sewell.
Yeah.
Later in the game. He had 12 doubles, 13 home runs, 48 RBIs, and did that all while batting .263. So, not a bad little stat line for Zane Denton there.
I like for that to improve up here.
Yeah, smaller park, more home runs.
No, not necessarily. I was thinking more of the...
Don't do it, Hickman.
The level of coaching.
Don't
that too.
Don't join what the other teams try to say about us in our park. Don't let them turn you like that.
I mean, that's a double-edged sword right there. Like you can't deny it. Like it's the dimensions in some spots are a little smaller, but at the same time, makes our pitchers look even better though.
Yeah,
well, they're not giving up home runs.
Oh yeah, it's a fair point.
So
until we played Notre Dame,
yeah,
and we did. We got rocked.
Maybe I should have saved the Vols letter for the last one.
Yeah, you know, feel-good story followed by me sitting here in disgust.
I want to rip that wound right back open, huh, Marcus?
I thought it was good.
Appreciate it, buddy.
I was excited about Denton.
That was a top 4-4 from Marcus. Thank you, Marcus.
Thank you, Bear.
It's fantastic.
It's a heavy weekend. A lot of stuff happened this weekend.
Did you guys happen to watch any of the G League action last night?
Saw the highlights.
But our boy Kennedy Chandler.
Is it just me or does it almost feel like feels like Springer's year was just not even like existent almost.
Like Kennedy Chandler, you know, he kind of closed the game out against Springer.
Yeah.
And, like, in my head, like, I know where you're going with this, Marcus. Like, in my head, it was Kennedy, you know? Like, yeah, that's our boy. And it's like, oh, wait, you know, that was Springer.
Yeah.
And you just don't really make the
– Springer who he stole the ball from there at the end to seal it?
Yeah.
In the Grizzlies game. Yeah, he had 4 of 8 from the field and 23 minutes of action last night. And a game-sealing steal on fellow former Vol Jaden Springer. Wow.
They're very excited about Kennedy Chandler's potential down there, over there, I should say.
Yeah, he signed the largest non-first-round contract in NBA history. So, and apparently he signed a $7.1 million deal contract. The four-year deal included $4.94 million guaranteed, the most by a second-round draft pick in NBA history. And while the $7.1 million ceiling isn't as high as the late first-rounders, Chandler's $4.94 million guaranteed is more than the last six first-rounders selected. So everybody that was saying he made a mistake kind of sounds like he didn't end up making a mistake. I mean, as we sit here today, he's a millionaire many times over. Had a hell of a performance last night, and just fantastic. Just fantastic start to it. So I'm telling you, the more Tennessee players that are going in the league, the more I am getting
back in to the NBA.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got 7 now.
Which, heck, in my lifetime, we've only had 2, I believe, is the most we ever had.
Yeah, so we have Kennedy Chandler with the Memphis Grizzlies. We got Keon with the Trail Blazers. Jaden, obviously, with the Philadelphia 76ers. Admiral Schofield's with the Magic. I didn't realize, when did Eve Bonds go to the Brooklyn Nets?
I think that must have happened during the offseason.
That's news to me.
Okay. Yeah. Got Jordan Bone with the Boston Celtics. Obviously, Grant Williams with the Boston Celtics. And Kyle Alexander with the Portland Trail Blazers. And that's not counting Tobias and Jay Rich.
Or Williams.
I'd already said Williams.
Oh, did you?
Grant, yeah.
Oh. Dang it.
I guess they're, you know, Jay Rich, Tobias, and Grant are, they were obviously.
Yeah, who's next?
They're not going to be in the G League.
No,
playing now.
No, they're resting. Getting ready for next season, so. Fantastic.
Grant's getting ready for another run. That. To me, right now, the Celtics have had probably the best offseason, in my opinion.
Kind of feel like the Drive may have to adopt the Grizzlies.
I would take them.
That's okay, though. Eastern Conference, Western Conference team.
I agree.
And if they're in the finals, you know, I'd be pulling for the Celtics because I'm a Celtics guy. But
same
time, like, I'll never complain about a.
Why do you root for Boston teams? You're from, like, Kodak. It makes no sense.
It does make no sense, but. I guess Tennessee was always so bad, I just had to gravitate towards some kind of winning city, you know? I mean, like, my first vivid UT memory is Philip Fulmer losing to Wyoming.
Just bears staring daggers into you, as you said.
Really?
He can, yeah, like, that's one of my first memories. Losing to Wyoming.
Wow, I'm so much older than you guys.
It was a sad life for me, Bear.
Scary.
Growing up watching
those
Tennessee
teams. I mean, me and
Russell,
I don't know how you guys did it. I mean, Russ and I were in college during our heyday in football.
I always said, you know, like, hey, by the time I go to UT, they'll be back. That didn't happen. But it's okay. We got the right guy now. Took us long enough, but.
Well, now that you're gone, I mean, we've got baseballs rocking and rolling,
yeah.
Basketball
was always good while
perennial
I was
top
in
10
school.
Powerhouse program, and now football, we seem to be trending up.
You just can't have any collapses this year. You can't have anything just unexpectedly go wrong.
In football or in
football.
Sports? Yeah.
That you just got to avoid that. You can't have a heartbreaker loss to Florida or Pitt or anybody like that.
We really need to get off the schneid against Florida this year.
I mean, this might be dramatic for me to say, but
say it.
You're kind of looking at maybe your last chance here.
Whoa, hold on.
not this year in general. I'm talking about, like, with Nico and his – 3 years here. You don't take advantage of having Nico and the talent you have now. Good luck ponying up to get boosters to hand out more money for NIL deals.
Do you think?
I don't agree with that.
Do you think Nico starts as a freshman?
Not right away.
Because this is Hooker's last year, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So following this season, you're looking at
Taven Jackson. Or Joe Milton, I guess.
Joe Milton, who will have been in the program for going on his third year.
Which he is just, you know, he's so close to having it all put together, but
it's his accuracy. Yeah. If he could fix that, man.
If he could fix that, he'd be a front runner for the Heisman Trophy.
I love his size.
The guy's got the strongest arm in college football. He may have one of the strongest arms in all of football. That kid can hurl it. I don't know if he gets in a game and he just gets ramped up and jacked up and just sails him, but.
My point is, though, fellas, every year that goes by without you getting back to being relevant in the SEC, it just gets a little bit harder the next year, you know?
Well, sure.
And then you can't hand out an NIL deal like we have allegedly handed out to Nico and not expect boosters to want a return on their investment.
Oh, they're going to want to see him.
Yeah, they're going to want to see him. They're going to want to see him do good. And if for some reason, I think Nico's the best quarterback in the class. I think he's better than Arch. I think Arch, if his last name's Smith, he's probably a 3-star recruit right now. But the kid's overrated. Check out his.
I mean, your long-standing beef with the Manning family is Derek Dooley noted.
Dude, check out his stats. Did you see his stats last year in his last playoff game?
No.
You've not seen those?
I don't follow recruiting that closely.
Oh, well, let's just say he paid homage to Peyton's stat line in Super Bowl 50.
Now, wait just a damn minute.
7-16. I think Peyton was 11-17 in that Super Bowl.
Who won the game?
Von Miller.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But anyways, Arch was 7-16 for 44 yards, 0 touchdowns, same number Peyton had in Super Bowl 50. And 1 interception, also the same number of interceptions that Peyton had in Super Bowl 50. And they lost 49-7. But number one quarterback, 100 overall rating, according to the recruiting services.
You need to back up on the Manning bashing and remember where you're at and who you're talking to, my friend.
Hey, I got no beef with the Manning family.
Which one of them hurt you?
Really, it was Eli, but
He's a big.
Oh wait, you're a Patriot.
He's a Brady.
It was Eli, really.
The Manning boys own his guy, Tom Brady.
Now it all adds up.
Yeah, whatever. So 7-6.
Anyhow, we're gonna go ahead and close out segment one of hour number two on that note. Phone lines wide open. Let's stack them up here. 865-546-8200. Go ahead and get on board now. This is a drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Welcome back in. The Drive rages on. So, gentlemen, apparently the early ESPN FPI, the power index, football power index, has dropped.
How's it looking? Yeah.
Who would you say is number one?
Bama.
Number two?
Georgia.
Yep, you got those right. The rest of the SEC is as follows. After that, you've got 8 teams in between our next entry. Number 10, the LSU Tigers. Number 11, this is a shocker for me, the Auburn Tigers.
I don't know if I'd call it that much of a shock.
They were a dumpster fire last year. Went 6-7. They almost fired their – they tried to have another one of the Auburn, you know, a coup down there and get rid of him.
He's done. He's done after this year.
Coming in at number 12, your Texas A&M Aggies. After their $30 million class they signed, I thought they would have been a little bit higher.
Can't wait to see that go wrong.
Number 17, your Ole Miss Black Bear, Land Shark, whatever else, Rebels. Right behind them at number 18, the Kentucky Wildcats. Kind of got a problem with that. Number 24, your Mississippi State Bulldogs. And clocking in at number 25, your Tennessee Volunteers.
Hey.
Let's see where the rest of the SEC schools round out here. At 26, you have Arkansas. Hold on. I'm
kind of shocked they're behind us.
I feel like they're a little bit, no offense to us, but a little bit better off. Now, I will say I don't think Auburn should have been above Texas A&M. I will say that. But I'm not shocked that they're still ranked high because it's Auburn.
There's always talent.
They always have something there.
Can you tap into it?
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe not. Can you avoid scandals? Maybe. Maybe not. And you get Alabama every year. I mean, that automatically kind of puts you behind the eight ball. I mean, we know what that feels like.
And yet somehow they always seem to find, in the years that you don't expect them to find a way to pull it out or make it close.
Yeah. Luck.
Yeah, yeah. Cam Newton.
I mean, that's really the only year I've ever went into a Alabama-Auburn game thinking, Auburn's got this one.
Well, yeah, with Cam, yeah, no.
That's the only year I've ever thought that.
I can't think of a quarterback since Cam that they've had that really made a massive difference. I literally can't think of a single name.
You know faces. If you heard the name, you know the guy. Yeah. You know he played for Auburn.
Even the guy they got now or the one who just transferred. I can't even think of his name all of a sudden.
Did they get Max Johnson?
They did, I think. That was the one out of LSU, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, I'm pretty sure they did. I don't know. I mean, look, I'm glad we're at 25. I'll say that, but I don't know. SEC is weird.
Ooh, the Calzada, too.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting quarterback room for the Tigers this year.
And then that is where he ended up, isn't it?
And then they still have TJ Finley just floating around in there.
TJ Finley kind of feels like those third-string quarterbacks that just hang around and, like, what's his name, Daniels for, like, the Detroit Lions or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Those quarterbacks that make a decent salary that just hang around.
That's even, like, a third-string quarterback name, too.
Right.
Finley. That'll be Calzada's job to lose, I'd imagine.
Yes. And I've apparently closed out of the page I had open.
The FPI page.
Well, I could tell you probably where Vanderbilt's at.
They're at 108. I do remember that. They were last.
That's actually good for them. It was 125 probably the year before that. They are above Kentucky and
yeah, I don't. How does recruiting you said Kentucky rankings. Was 18, right?
Yes.
How did I don't understand that? What is?
I mean, hell, they've still got him ranked as I saw another one of those lists of the coaching list. They've got him at number 5.
Who?
Stoops.
Oh, huh.
Saturday Down South did a ranking where they had him at 3rd.
That's just fantasy.
I mean, he's a good program builder.
Yeah, I mean, he's I will give him credit where credit's due. He has made Kentucky more relevant than they've ever been in the sport of football. But he is not the third best coach in the SEC. If we're going over their entire careers in general, obviously Bama with Saban's at number 1, I'd put Kirby at 2 and then Jimbo at 3. I don't know, I might put Jimbo at 3 and Kirby at or other way around Kirby at 3.
While we're talking coaching rankings, Barrett Salee, he posted an article on his Twitter where he was ranking his SEC coaches going into the 2022 season. I think 1, 2, and 3 is kind of a gimme. Saban, Smart, Jimbo.
Yeah.
4, 5, 6, nothing too crazy. You got Brian Kelly at 4. Hard to argue that. Stoops at 5.
I can make an argument there.
Kiffin at 6. I'd probably swap Kiffin and Stoops, if I'm being honest. 7, Sam Pittman. 8, Mike Leach. 9, Billy Napier.
Here's where I have a problem.
Yeah, I have a big problem with that.
This is where we've gone wrong.
10, Josh Heupel.
I think he should be in front of Napier.
11, Shane Beamer. 12, Drinkwitz. 13, Harsin. And then 14, Clark Lee. Here's my beef with Napier over Heupel. Yes, Napier has had a lot of success at whatever.
Cincinnati?
Huh?
Was he at Cincinnati?
Whatever Louisiana school it was.
Oh,
Lafayette. Louisiana Lafayette, I believe. If I'm wrong, I don't care. Josh Heupel had a lot of success at UCF. Pretty solid year one. What just grinds my gears with this is, you know, we've seen Heupel have 1 year of Power 5 college football coaching under his belt as a head coach. We've not seen that with Napier. And even better yet, Heupel went 7-5, and you couldn't have given him a bigger mess to inherit for his first year in the SEC. So I think that alone, just having 1 year of Power 5 work as the head guy, I think that should be enough to bump Heupel over Napier, but whatever.
One would think.
And they even had, like, they even put parentheses here that they have Heupel and Napier actually at 32 and 33 overall in the entire FBS coaching ranking list. So there's no separation with Heupel and Napier when you take it to a national scale either. They're right there stacked on top of each other. So they don't think there's anybody in between those guys when it comes to being a head football coach in the country.
No, there's not. Here's the rounding out the rest of the SEC in the very early ESPN FPI rankings. Tennessee at 25, Arkansas Razorbacks at 26. Your Florida Gators came in at 29. At 45, South Carolina. 56, your Missouri Tigers. And at 108, the Vanderbilt Commodores. You surprised they've got Florida down that low?
Not really.
I'm a little surprised Arkansas is at 26.
I am too.
I would have had them in front of probably us, Mississippi State, and Kentucky.
Well, I mean, I guess we are more talented than Arkansas if you look at recruiting rankings over the last couple of seasons. But Sam Pittman, I mean, guy can coach. And Florida, I mean, they're a bad start away from disaster down there this year. I mean, they're already fed up with Billy Napier. When you're releasing letters to the fans asking for patience and you've not even coached a game.
You're basically saying you're not going to.
You're pretty much saying, hey, I'm too soft to handle the SEC is what you're saying.
What was his comments about the NIL? He wasn't going to use it as a recruiting?
Yeah, I mean, just typical coach bullcrap. But, I mean, everybody says that. And what's he doing? He's probably out here pitching NIL deals to all these kids he wants. So
I don't know. I mean, he lost his number one quarterback prospect. What's the kid's name? Rashada?
Yes.
To where? Florida State or Miami?
Miami, which apparently he got
healthy.
Actually, they're saying he took a pay cut to go to Miami.
From Florida?
Yeah.
Didn't they have like a couple decommitments happen recently too?
Yeah, that's what kind of sparked the fan reaction, which then triggered Billy Napier to write a letter asking for patience
right.
Understanding.
That's right.
Yeah, but like Rashada's lawyer, I'm pretty sure he's the same lawyer who represents Nico, said that.
He is, Capino.
Yeah, Florida's NIL collective is just absolutely a train wreck. And yeah, Napier said he's anti-bidding war to land recruits.
You aren't going to survive long running with the big dogs.
It's either change to the times or watch the times pass you by.
Now, here's another question. I get Mike Leach has had success. I'm a fan of the Pirate. But how do you put – I feel like Heupel's offense is a lot more efficient than Mississippi State's. And I also don't understand, like, you know, what you're saying. I think that I'd put Arkansas over Mississippi State.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, the big difference, and everybody thinks that Heupel's offense is – I mean, it's a variation. I mean, he played for Leach at Oklahoma. But their philosophies are like, Heupel runs the ball a lot more than people really give him credit for. That's fairly balanced offense.
That's why I think it's more efficient because, you know, despite the fact that you're going to put up great passing numbers, that's not all you're doing. You got more, what do they call it? More wrinkles to your offense.
Yes. That's something I'm going to be interested to see because – now that all these other SEC defensive coordinators, they've got a year of tape on Heupel's offense, I'm really interested to see what new wrinkles he's coming with this year to stay ahead. It's kind of like in a race, you know, like whether it be Formula One or NASCAR or IndyCar, those guys are constantly trying to stay ahead of the track conditions. You got to constantly be adjusting the car throughout the race to keep it in front. And it's the same kind of thing in football. You can't just expect to go out and do the same exact things we did last year because the defenses, the players, and the coordinators are way too good in the SEC and, you know, the top of Power Five to just roll out there and do the same thing. So I'm really interested to see and looking forward to seeing what new wrinkles he's cooked up over there in his offensive laboratory, so to speak, over there at Tennessee.
I'm really excited about this season. Like, I'm genuinely.
Yeah, I'm getting to the point now. I mean, it's July, man. I'm ready for it to start. Yeah.
We're so close. We got the letters up. By the way, how quickly they put those things up compared to how long it took. People were talking about on Twitter how long it took down Butch Jones's image from the back of the scoreboard.
Wow, like, we're still waiting on that crane.
We're getting things done.
Was that one of the most ridiculous lies they ever tried to tell us over there?
Yeah, probably.
They had to order a special crane.
They've told so many, though.
Special crane.
What's the dumbest lie the administration's told the fans? Yeah. What would you put it at?
We're hiring Greg Schiano.
Well, that wasn't a lie. They were really
wanting to hire that guy.
They were going
to
hire Greg Schiano.
That's up there.
I don't know if they really – I don't know if I can say that they truly – they were going to, but I don't know how much they really wanted him. I don't know.
Dude, John Curry wanted him.
I know John Curry did, but, like, I don't know. I think there was a lot more to it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just
– Yeah, you're wrong. No, I mean, he was on a plane on the way down here, and then everybody revolted. And they flew him back up to Columbus?
How crazy would things have gotten that night, you know, when everybody was out there on campus protesting the hire, if it got out that he had actually landed in Knoxville and was on campus?
Okay. So what was the deal? That he didn't get on the plane, or did he get on the plane? Or
I don't think he ever got on it.
I block a lot of that stuff out of my memory. Maybe that's why I'm making stuff up.
I saw that Feldman tweet. I called Russ. I was like, hey, man, they're really going to do this. We need to get down to the station.
Yeah.
That's how I started listening to – that's how I found Fan Run.
Was Schiano Sunday?
It was because of Schiano Sunday.
I listened to Schiano Sunday, the whole thing, probably once a year.
Really?
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's absolutely crisis mode, and nothing brings people together quite like a crisis does.
I will say, this station does the best crisis modes of anyone.
Oh, yeah.
It's because we collectively lose our minds.
it's beautiful.
Shiona Sunday was when I called for Jeremy Pruitt to be hired, right?
Yeah, that was when you made that. Probably your worst hot take ever, Bear, but.
It wasn't really a hot take. I was just like, go get Pruitt from Alabama.
Yeah. And, hey, they listened.
Unfortunately, they did.
What I was going to say was, to what I started with, is that I'm genuinely excited. This season has got me excited because we have Hooker back in year two in this offensive system.
Got Tillman,
who could put up – if he puts up another season like he did last year, man, he could break some records.
Brew McCoy
is a guy I'm excited about.
What's my guy's name? Justin Thomas. He's got two last names now.
Justin Thomas Williams.
Yes.
That kid's going to be a stud.
JTW.
Caleb Webb.
JTW is my pick to click. Who's your pick to click? Are you familiar with this?
Just you going one freshman who is just going to shine the brightest.
You go one offense, one defense. Who do you think? And you can't pick the obvious ones. Like
Hooker.
Yeah, Tillman. Hooker, Tillman. Somebody's already proven themselves.
I picked Hooker as my team MVP last year on 3-and-out before he was ever the starter.
Hmm.
You talk about
really?
An impressive call right there.
There you go.
I think I took him with my first pick.
It was nice.
Pick the click. Give me Jeremy Banks.
That's
kind of obvious.
Yeah, no, you can't pick Banks.
I think Juwan Mitchell, if he's healthy, if he's out there.
Juwan Mitchell?
He had 11 tackles in that simulation against Pittsburgh, Bear.
I'm going to go with Elijah God, what's his last
Herring.
Name? Herring. Is that our humongous defensive tackle?
Yeah.
Oh,
from
oh.
Riverdale.
Are you talking about the kid that, like, you're talking about the big boy?
Yeah.
I know who you're talking. It is Elijah. It's not Elijah Herring.
Oh, you're talking to Elijah Simmons?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The junkyard dog.
The junkyard dog. Yeah. That's who you're talking about.
The guy who's
330 pounds and can dunk a basketball.
Woo.
I'm going with him and JTW on offense.
All right. I'm going to go Caleb Webb on offense.
Okay.
Talented four-star receiver. He's got the build.
Is he a freshman?
Freshman, yeah.
I usually shy away with going freshman pick to clicks at receiver.
I don't know, though. In this offense, you know, it won't take much. You get any playing time in this offense, you're going to find yourself wide open at some point with a chance to make an early name for yourself.
All right.
I like how you said don't pick freshmen, and that's about what I was going to pick for my pick to click. Squirrel White. I have a feeling that he's gonna pull himself out of a hat, impress some people on offense.
Pull himself out of a hat?
Yeah, I don't know. I was just – look, I'm tired.
Right.
I woke up not long ago.
He's definitely got explosive
speed.
Yeah. Speed and can be a game changer and explosive playmaker. It's something we definitely need more of. So, and I know he's turned some heads over there.
Yeah.
Many to ask Rick. We'll get the scoop on him from Rick Butler tomorrow.
And then for defense, I'm going with the Ohio State transfer, Andre Turrentine.
Okay.
I think he can make an impact. You know, was a little bit on the depth chart on Ohio State. Wants an opportunity to start. I think he might get it. I don't know if he's going to play safety or corner. Probably safety. But, I mean, him and I love Willie Martinez, man. He's such a good coach. I think he's going to make that secondary a lot better. I mean, you saw what he was able to do with some of the guys we had with, like, Mosley and Sutton. And
see, big Martinez fan, huh?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Try to get him on the show. I'd love to hear him talk about this team and this defense.
All right. Let's go ahead and take our final break of hour number two. After we come back, we'll get – let's dig in a little bit more to these ESPN, the FPI rankings, the non-SEC schools. I'm seeing some interesting ones that I want to quite frankly have some issues with. So anyhow, we'll be right back with some messages from our sponsors after this. You're listening to The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Welcome back into The Drive. Cruising right along here, Adam. Let's dig in a little bit more into these ESPN FPI rankings.
All right.
I'm starting to get a little irritated now. So you got Alabama at number one, Buckeyes number two, Georgia number three, Clemson number four. Okay with that. Notre Dame coming in at number five. That was a little too high. Michigan number six. They did make the playoffs last year. Now here's the first big shocker. The Texas Longhorns, number seven.
Every year. It's every year.
Do they get – I kind of feel like they're getting it's just on who they are.
Oh, it's 110% on who they are.
I mean, what was their – I mean, they're projecting them to –
They lost to Kansas. Here.
They're projecting them to go 9-3.
Let's see. Oklahoma's an L. I don't know their schedule off the back of my
head. They've got Oklahoma right behind them. I mean, here's another one. Miami? I mean, they're giving Cristobal a lot of credit because they've been hot garbage forever.
Who does Miami open up with this year?
Oh. I don't know. Let me see if this pulls it up. I clicked on them here.
I know they had the hype last year just to get absolutely dog-walked by Alabama.
2022 schedule, they open up with BCU.
Are you kidding me? Bethune? I can't even say it. Cookman.
Bethune-Cookman.
Bethune-Cookman, yeah.
And then Southern Miss.
They get A&M week three.
Yeah, that's going to be a beatdown.
That'll be a game that tells you a lot.
MTSU. I mean, they've got a fairly favorable schedule. And then UNC, Virginia Tech, Duke, UVA, FSU, Georgia Tech, Clemson, and they end the season with Pitt.
So 8-4 for them, maybe.
That's a pretty decent schedule there. They've got. Let's see who else. Who else really jumped out at me? I thought they were way overranked.
They high on Mike Gundy and the boys?
Yeah, Oklahoma State, I just saw them. Where'd they come in at? They are at number 14.
All right, yeah. I mean, last year probably, I don't know, maybe one of Gundy's two best seasons he's had since he's been there. I mean, they were so close to a playoff berth last year. It seemed like last year was their year to put it all together and break through if they were ever going to do so. They opened with Central Michigan. They got Arizona State week two. That could be a potentially intriguing matchup there.
I don't agree with a lot of these. They've got Michigan State right behind them. Like that's a little underrated. Penn State, Ole Miss, Kentucky, Carolina clocks in at 19. Pitt at number 20. Wisconsin at 21. Here's one that I feel like is underrated, Baylor. Dave Aranda and the Baylor Bears, I thought they would be better or ranked a little bit higher in this deal. How do they cut? Is this a computer thing?
Yeah.
And they got Oregon and Mississippi State, Tennessee, Arkansas, Cincinnati. They kind of slap Cincinnati. NC State, Florida. I mean, here's one that's kind of safe. They've got Nebraska at 32. But I gotta look it up. Nebraska's record last year was hideous, right?
Oh, yeah.
But there was a statistical anomaly with it. They actually outscored their opponents. It's just something bizarre. I mean, that guy's just snake bit.
Frost.
Yeah.
So 4-8, 5-7, 3-5, 3-9 in his tenure at his alma mater, Nebraska.
Yeah, if he doesn't do it this year, he's gone.
Yeah, they're running him out. And there's always some preseason hype behind him.
Here's one that I think is way too low, just from what all he's brought in, is USC. And I'm surprised that they don't have them higher just on name recognition. They got the Trojans clocking in at number 35.
I mean, he stole his own quarterback from Oklahoma. He was a pretty good quarterback, too, Williams.
Let's see anybody down here.
And they're pairing him with Addison?
Yeah.
So
I'd put USC higher if it were me.
See if there's any shockers down here towards the bottom. I'm with Syracuse. They're at 60. They used to be a powerhouse.
We'll be seeing them here in, a couple of years in Charlotte or Atlanta.
I can't remember where it is, but, yeah, we are playing them. I think it's in Atlanta. Maybe it is Charlotte. Virginia Tech clocking in at 73. I mean, this is just – I wonder if has anybody ever gone back and compared it with how they finished to see how accurate this thing is?
I've not.
Good Lord, and Vanderbilt, 108. I mean, they're the last
Power 5 team.
Yeah. They are definitely the last Power 5
team. Figured it'd be them or Northwestern.
It's insane that they even had Franklin at one point. Like, he's by far the best coach they've ever had. Probably will ever have.
They'll never do that again.
No, not in today's world.
No. I mean, they did not. I mean, the way that whole thing ended with – I mean, he got out of town just in time.
Oh, with the whole – yeah.
The whole gang rape and what, two or three of his players are basically doing life.
I mean, he won two – he had back-to-back nine-win seasons at Vanderbilt.
That will never happen again.
No. He still lost us one of those years, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, preseason top 25.
That's why
for 2 years.
I'll never understand how Kentucky gets ranked ahead of it. I mean, Kentucky brought their best team ever in here. We pummeled them. Pummeled them.
I think last year's team was actually better than that team we beat, but that team didn't have a quarterback. They had Terry Wilson. I think last year's Kentucky team beats the Kentucky team we beat.
Probably so. So, I'm starting to get the itch now for sure, though, about college football. Mm-hmm. It's time, isn't it, boys?
It's going to be exciting.
Y'all got any dark horse picks?
Dark horse picks.
We're going out on a limb?
What are we talking?
Make the playoffs?
Dark horse playoff picks? Oh, let's see.
Do I do it? Do I say it?
Don't
jinx us.
You do you, buddy. You do you, but...
No, because last time
Tennessee ain't making the playoffs, bro.
No, I mean
last time I picked somebody to make the World Series and win it, I was sorely mistaken. So I don't think I'm going to do that anymore.
Much appreciated.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if USC has an opportunity to make the playoffs.
You think they're just going to hit the ground running?
Who they brought in this offseason, it just, I don't know. Maybe I'm just jumping on the bandwagon, but having Williams and Addison together, Williams was good, man. If they can hit the ground running, yeah, I think they could make the playoffs.
I don't know, man. They've got them ranked awfully low. They open with Rice, then at Stanford, Fresno State.
So that's three wins.
Oregon State.
My dark horse last year was Iowa State.
I mean, dude, they've got to actually – they could conceivably be 1, 2, 3, 4. I think they're going to lose Utah. Be 6-1 at that point, 7-1, 8-1, 9-1. I mean, they could be 9-1 heading into the game with UCLA on November 19th, and then they end their last game of season November 20. I guess it's Thanksgiving weekend against Notre Dame.
I'm locking it in. USC is my dark horse.
North Carolina State, Penn State. Those are my two dark horses. Take it to the bank.
North Carolina State and who?
Penn State.
I'm more shocked by the first one. What makes you think, isn't that where Born Dorn is?
Yeah, Dave Born Dorn.
They had a good year last year.
We fired him before they could hire him, as Russ says. All right, hour number two in the books. Hour number three coming up next on The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Back with more after this.
The Drive. Hey, guys. Drug prices got you down? Well, here.